Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Yud Gimel, and we're going to begin on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanim. So we learned in the Mishnah that we have the Kohen Gadol sequestered for 7 days before Yom Kippur, and we also appoint a backup. Tana Rabbanim, Irba Psul, if something happened to disqualify the Kohen Gadol, so we appoint the backup to be Kohen Gadol, and then, Baruch Hashem, the Kohen Gadol gets well again. So what's the halacha? Says the Braisa, Remeya says, Rishon Chozer V'Dasai, the first Kohen Gadol goes back to his position, Sheni Kol Mitzvos Kenuna Gedola Olav, Divrei Remeya. According to Remeya, the second person is treated like a Kohen Gadol. Since he started in that position at one point, he retains that position. When the first one goes back to his position, Shani, however, the second person, any Roy Loilakon, God of Loilakon Hedget, doesn't have either position. And Rabbi Yossi will explain in a moment why. But first tells us Rabbi Yossi, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Maisa be Yossi ben Elam ben Tzipori, there's once a story with Yossi ben Elam who lived in Tzipori, the Kohen Gadol was disqualified, so they appointed Yosef ben Elam to substitute for the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol got well again. The Chacham said, Rishon, not at the first person as well, Shani, the second person, he can't act not as a Kohen Gadol, nor as a Kohen Hedget. He can't act as a Kohen Gadol, Mishum Eva, because this first Kohen, if he's going to act in that position, will be upset. Kohen Hedget, but he can't act as a Kohen Hedget, Mishamalim B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin. Once a person is appointed to a position of higher position, we can't take him to a lower position. So Tosfos asks, why does the Gemara say that he can't act in the position of a Kohen Hedget because of Malim B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin? Tosfos asks, Al Pidin, he's really a Kohen Gadol. The only reason we're not letting him take that position is Mishum Eva, that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't feel bad. But if the thing is only because of Eva, but he's really a Kohen Gadol, as Tosfos, the halacha is, the Kohen Gadol has to wear all 8 garments when he does the avoda, the Shemayna Begadim. If a Kohen Gadol does the avoda with only 4 Begadim, it's automatically possible, it's disqualified. So the reason he can't do the avoda as a Kohen Hedget is because he's only going to be doing the avoda 4 Begadim. And that's automatically possible. So why do we have to say reason because of Malim B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin? So Tosfos answers, he was appointed by Beis Din or by the king to be Kohen Gadol. Just like they appointed him to be Kohen Gadol, they could take away the appointment. So the Chiddush of the Gemara according to Rabbi Yossi is that although he could easily lose that position just by saying you're no longer Kohen Gadol, Chazal tell us Malim B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin, we don't allow Beis Din to take away that position. So the Pnei Yeshua says, Tosfos is telling us a very bechiddush, that you could appoint a Kohen Gadol, and you could take away the appointment. The Chassam Sofer, however, says, that when is that halacha applicable? Only when he was appointed by, just appointing him by announcing that he's Kohen Gadol. However, had he been appointed with the Shem and HaMishcha, had he been appointed with, that can't be taken away. Shem and HaMishcha is something forever. The Shara Ephraim makes an interesting observation. He says, Halacha L'maisa. Let's say somebody is a Shlich Tzibur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and 1 year he can't make it. He's going away, he's not well, whatever. So he says to the Kehillah, I want to appoint my substitute. From this Gemara, he says, we see that you can't point your substitute. It's up to the Beis Din, or the king, or whoever. They have the ability to make the substitute. It's not for you to make the substitute. Yesterday in the Shia, we quoted a Taz. The Taz said that let's say we have, this is the case the Taz speaks about. Let's say there's an Aron Kodesh. And the Aron Kodesh is used for Sefer Torah. So the halacha is you can't use that Aron Kodesh for regular Sfarim. Malim B'Kodesh V'loy Meridin. Says the Taz, but let's say that Aron Kodesh is no longer usable for Aron Kodesh for Sefer Torah, then there's no concept of Malam B'Kodesh for Lemuridin, and you're allowed to use Darim Kodesh for Sfarim. So Mefarshim asked, isn't Al Gemara proof against the Taz? What's the case in Al Gemara? This person can no longer serve as a Kohen Gadol. So what are we saying to him? That you can't be a Kohen Hedyot. Because of Malam B'Kodesh for Lemuridin. But according to the Taz, whenever it's no longer usable for the higher level of Kedusha, he is allowed to go to the lower level. So this person can't be a Kohen Gadol, because the first person came back, so why don't we say that he can't act as a Kohen Hedyot? Why do we say Malam B'Kodesh? So Mefarshim explained that when the Taz spoke about his situation, Darim Kodesh broke. So it's no longer usable. So since it broke, we say Malam B'Kodesh, we don't have a concept of Malam B'Kodesh for Lam Reading. Here, the Kohen Gadol, this second person is worthy of being Kohen Gadol. Nothing changed. Therefore, even though he can no longer serve as Kohen Gadol, even the Taz will agree that the concept of Malam B'Kodesh for Lam Reading is still relevant. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi B'Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Krav Yosi. The Halach is like Rabbi Yosi. However, Umayda Rabbi Yosi agrees, Shem Ovar, that even though Rabbi Yosi says that this person can't act as a Kohen, not as a Kohen Gadol, not as a Kohen Hedyot, if he went and did do the Avoida, Vavad Avoidosoi, Vavad Avoidosik Sheru. So most Rishonim learn, the Ritva learns this way, that when is his Avoida Kosher, if he does the Avoida as a Kohen Gadol. Because really, as we explained, he is a Kohen Gadol. And really, he should do the Avoida with the Shemayin of a Gadol. It's only because of Eva that we say he shouldn't do the Avoida, but the Eva, if he did the Avoida, his Avoida is Kshera. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the Halacha is Krav Yosi. So Tosfos asks that many times in Shas we find a concept of Hilchos L'Mashicha. That why do we say a Halacha that's not relevant? So Tosfos asks, what's it relevant to tell us the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that if the Kohen Gadol is replaced, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have a Kohen Gadol? So Tosfos says three terutzim. One terutz, Tosfos says, is that if this concept that we don't speak about halachas that are not relevant, not everybody agrees to. What's the best proof? We have all the mesechtas of Kachin. Most of mesechta Yuma, in fact, is not relevant. So this is not something we always follow. Another variation of that teretz, Tosfos says, the only time the Gemara doesn't speak about something that's relevant is, number one, it's not relevant, and number two, an Aveira was done. So then, it's not relevant. And it also involves doing an Aveira, we don't mention it. Here, there's no Aveira. So that's why, even though it's not relevant nowadays, we mention it. But then Tosfos says a very interesting teretz. Tosfos says it is relevant. The halacha is, let's say somebody has a position of authority in the tzibur, and he can't fulfill his job, so he takes a substitute. The halacha is that the original person goes back. That means, halacha l'maisa, let's say somebody is the Baal Tefillah, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and for whatever reason he was sick, he was away, and they appointed someone else. The halacha is that when he gets better or he comes back, he gets his job back. In fact, I saw a very interesting shaila from Rabbi Yosef. The following shaila was asked from Rabbi Yosef. Somebody arranged to say a shir every day. And he said the shir, he was doing a good job. And then he had to travel out of town. So he asked the substitute to take over. And the substitute did a very good job also. He actually did a better job. When he comes back, the Talmidim tell him, you know, thank you for arranging the shir. And thank you for having the substitute. And actually, we like the substitute better than you. So we'd like the substitute to continue. What's the halacha? So Rabbi Yosef, interestingly, paskens this way. He says that the first Magid Shir gets back the Shir. Al Gemara. He says, but even though the first Magid Shir gets back the Shir, the second Magid Shir could start a Shir somewhere else, and the Talmidim are not obligated to continue by the first Shir. By the first Magid Shir, they could go to the second Magid Shir. There is no monopoly on Torah. All based on this Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Omoide Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi agrees, Shemes Rishon, Shechayz Lavadosai, that if the first Kohen Gadol dies, he could go back, the second person could be Kohen Gadol. Ask him a Peshitta, why not? Now the job is open, so why not? There's no Eva anymore, he's no longer here. Matatayim Havalet Sarah Michayim, I would think that if we're going to allow this second person to always to be Kohen, eventually to be Kohen Gadol, so the first Kohen Gadol will always be uncomfortable around him. Kamash Mon, we don't have to worry. So now the Mefarshim discussed the following Shaila. When we say that this second Kohen goes back, so the Rishonim ask two questions. One question there's a pshat that he has the right to be Kohen Gadol, but not only does he have a right to be Kohen Gadol, he has first rights, because he was once. So most Rishonim say he does, some say he don't. And other Rishonim even go a step further. Normally the halacha is that a son comes before everyone else. So now the question is like this. You have the son of the Kohen Gadol who passed away, and you have the person who once served as Kohen Gadol. Who goes first? So most Rishonim say that the one who was once Kohen Gadol goes first. So I saw another interesting shayla. Rav Chaskel Abramsky discusses the shayla. There was a rabbi of a shul, of a kehillah, who was not well. So they appointed an assistant to run the kehillah because he wasn't well. And then the person died, the rabbi died. So now the son of the rabbi, the halacha is a son has kedima, comes and says, my father died, I'm his yairish. The assistant says, I was already serving in this position, I have kedima. And he uses our gemara as a proof, because we just said that the person who once served as Kohen Gadol has kedima. So Rav Chaskel Abramsky says it's not to be compared. In our gemara, this person once served in the position of Kohen Gadol. So since he once served in that position, so he comes first. Here, this rabbi never served in the position of rabbi. He only served in the position of substitute, assistant rabbi, whatever you want to call him. So that's why, since the halacha always is that a son has kedima, in this case the son will have kedima. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we learned in the Mishnah, Af ish acheres misaktan loy. We also prepare for him a backup wife. Why? Because maybe his wife will die. As we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, a Kohen Gadol must be married. Ask the Gemara, V'rabbana nami ha-chayshe v'shema. We see that Rabbana are concerned for somebody, something happening. What's the proof? Because in our mission, Rabbana said we have to have a backup Kohen in case the Kohen Gadol gets tummy. So why are they concerned about tumah and they're not concerned about death? Answer the Gemara, Amalach Rabbanan, tumah shchicha. For a person to become tummy, it's common. That's why we have to have a backup Kohen. Misalai shchicha, that the wife will die, is not common. That's why we don't have to have a backup wife. So the Achroinim explain, when the Rabbanim say Misa Lashchicha, it's talking in our case. It's Erev Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol's wife is alive. To be concerned that just tomorrow the person's wife, the Kohen Gadol's wife will die, we don't have to be concerned. When the Gemara says Misa Lashchicha, only means for a short time. But if it's a long time that we're talking, everybody agrees we have to be Chashish, we have to be concerned about death, because ultimately everybody's going to die. Amrloi, so the Rabbanim told Rabbi Yehuda, if you're worried about death, in Kate Enlod of a Saif, so maybe the backup wife will die, says the Gemara, Shapa Kamalei Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanim are saying a very strong point to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Lemis the Chadach Shinan. That one wife will die and we have to have a second one backing her up, that's something we have to be concerned of. Lemis the Tati, Lecha Shinan. To start worrying that not only will she die, but also the second wife, that's already overdoing it. Ask the Gemara, Rabbanan iik lemeichish, if we have to be concerned, afil lemeisad treichishinin, then we have to be concerned that two will die. And if not, not. Rabbanan, inemer inu lenavshayu, Rabbanan according to their position, that if you're worried, we have to be worried, there's no difference, one or two, so why do they only take one backup coin? They should have to have more than one backup coin. We should be concerned that something will happen to the backup coin. Answers the Gemara, Amlach Rabbanan, the Rabbanan tell you, Kohen Zarasu. Really, the Kohen Gadol is a Zarasu, we don't have to worry that anything will happen. Ask the Gemara, E Zarasu, if you're so convinced that the Kohen Gadol, nothing is going to happen, he's not going to become Tomei, he's going to watch himself from becoming Tomei, Lom is Skinner like Kohen Achah, so we shouldn't even have to have one backup. Answers the Gemara, Kivim Davdina like Tzara. Tzara means like a second wife. Once he has a backup, Koshkein Demizdaris Tfei. That will keep him in check, but we don't need more. And based on this Gemara, Dimer Yosher says, that's why, we spoke about it at the beginning of the Masechta, that we should be careful that the backup coin should not be a son. Because what's the point of the backup coin? The point of the backup coin is that he keeps the coin Gadol in check. Who keeps somebody in check? Somebody you're jealous of. So if there's another coin waiting in the wings, the coin Gadol watches himself. But if the backup coin is a son, and we know that the klal is that a father is not jealous of a son, so he's not going to watch himself. What's he going to think? Something happens to me? So who's going to replace me? My son! I can live with my son replacing me. That's why you're not allowed to have the son be the backup. We have to be careful, it should be someone else. Although he says a brother, there's a different relationship between a father and a son and two brothers, a brother can be the backup. He actually says it for a very interesting halach lemaisa. He says that there was a minig in a city that every animal after it was checked had to have two boidkim. Two people checked that the animal was kosher. So he says that the two boidkim cannot be a father and a son. Because why did they make this rule? Because everybody will be careful to do the right thing because somebody's checking him. So he says a father and a son cover up for each other, and therefore a father and a son should not have this position. But he says two brothers are okay, they don't cover up for each other. Ask the Gemara, Umis Sagile Bitakanta, what's the point of appointing a backup wife? Beis Amrachmana. The person has to be his wife. Just appointing a backup for Halav Besahu. It's not his wife. Says the Gemara, the Mekadishla. He marries her. Now we know that in a Jewish marriage, there are two steps. There's Kedushin, which is Erisin, and then there's the next step, which is Nesuin. Ask the Gemara, V'kol kamad lekanas lo, as long as he didn't do Nesuin, La Besahu. It's not considered his wife. So what's the point that you say he should do Kedushin? It's meaningless. Answers the Gemara, the Kanas law. He will marry her. He'll make Nesuin. Answers the Gemara, now we have a different problem. Im ken havle shnei batim. We end up with a situation that he has two wives. That also is unacceptable. Because Rachmana Omer, v'chipa ba'adoi ba'adbeisoi. He has to have one wife, v'loi ba'ad shnei batim. So marrying the second woman is not going to help you because now he has too many wives. Now the Sfas Emes asks, why do we have to say that there's a problem with v'chipa ba'adoi b'ad beisoi, v'loi ba'ad shnei batim? The halach is a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry two women. So the Gemara could have said, simple, this is what we're talking about a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry two wives. So the Sfas Emes says a chiddush. When is there a halach that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry two wives? He says that if you have a person who's a kohen gadol, he's not allowed to marry two women. But let's say you had a person who was a kohen hedget, and he was married. And now they appointed him Kohen Gadol, he's allowed to marry a second woman. Because he didn't marry two women as Kohen Gadol. He married one when he was Kohen Hedget, and one when he was Kohen Gadol. That's not considered marrying two wives. Another Teretz says that he can marry two women, he just can't have relations with two women.
How does that help you? This guy, he's a Kohen Gadol now.
Right.
He's going
to marry two. So the problem is not that he's married to two women, because he's allowed to be married to two women if one was prior to the Kuna Gedola and one was after. The problem is that we add Beisoy, we'll add the Ad Shnei Batim. There's an interesting Shvus Yaakov. There's an interesting Shvus Yaakov that says, based on this Gemara, let's say there was a person who was married to a woman who couldn't receive a get. So he had a Hetamei Rabbonim to allow him to marry a second woman. And now he married the second woman. He should not be the Shlich Tzibur Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Because the Shlich Tzibur and Rosh Hashanah Kippur is like the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol, v'chipa ba'ad deisoy v'lad ba'ad shnei batim. So he has two wives. Because the Hetamei Rabbonim only allows him to marry a second wife. It doesn't make that the first wife is yet divorced. And a man with two wives should not be Shlich Tzibur. Rabbi Yoshev disagrees. He says that since when a Hetamei Rabbonim is written, it also includes that as soon as the first wife can receive a get, she'll receive a get. It's not considered like it's two wives. And he says such a person can serve as a Shlich Tzibur. So what we're going to do now in the Gemara, for the rest of the Shia basically, is figure out how a person can have these two women as wives without having two wives. That's going to be the rest of the Shia. But Tosfos quotes an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has a much simpler approach to this Gemara. He says we take the backup wife, the backup woman, and he doesn't marry her. But she's prepared that if Chas V'Shalom something should happen to his wife on Yom Kippur, he'll marry her on Yom Kippur, the backup woman. Why doesn't the Bavli agree with the Yerushalmi? So Mepharshim say many reasons. First of all, the halacha is you not let him get married on Yom Tov. Because getting married is like making a transaction. The halacha is you're not allowed to make a kinyan on Yom Tov. Another reason is that there's two ways of learning this reason. One is that a chuppah, marriages with a chuppah, it has to be a chuppah harui labiyah. This is a chuppah that's not harui labiyah because on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to do biyah. That's the same reason the Rambam holds that you can't make a chuppah snida, because that's a chuppah that you can't come to consummate because she's a nida. Another pshat is that every marriage ultimately has to lead to bia. It's not just chuparui l'bia. You have to do the bia, and here bia will not be permitted. Another pshat why the Bavli doesn't agree with the Yerushalmi is that the Kohen Gadol, as we learned and will learn, is so busy on Yom Kippur, we don't want him to have to be busy getting married. But there's a very interesting Rabbi Kiva Eiger. Rabbi Kiva Eiger says that why doesn't he make the chuppah on Erev Yom Kippur and make it with Tanai? That if something should happen to his wife on Yom Kippur, the Kedushin should become effective. And if nothing happens to his wife, then the Kedushin will not be effective. So Rabbi Kiva Eiger says, and this is very relevant la'aloch l'maisa, that you're not allowed to do a business transaction before Shabbos and Yontif that should possibly become effective on Yontif or Shabbos. What's the best example? Let's say it's Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is not that much. It's Erev Yontif. Somebody leaves instructions with a stock that if it's going to go to a certain price, sell or buy. So Rabbi Kiva Eiger says it's usur. Even though you're not doing anything, you gave the instructions before, you're not allowed to do anything from Erev Shabbos that should make it be effective on Shabbos. There's an interesting Beis Yisrael. He asks a question on the Yerushalmi. According to the Yerushalmi, the marriage will take effect on Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi isn't disturbed with the issues that we raised. Ask the Beis Yisrael, so why does it come out that this person got married on Yom Kippur? He says the halacha is that chosen and kala, when they get married, all of their averus are nimchal. So if the Kohen Gadol is getting married in Yom Kippur, he's not the right man for being Kohen Gadol. We need somebody v'chipa ba'adei ba'adbeisai, somebody who requires a kapara. This person doesn't require any kapara. He's not the right person for the job. So the Beis Yisrael answers, from here we see that even though chosen v'kala, moichlu lahem kol ava nesayim, they still could use a kapara afterwards. So now the Gemara is bothered, as we learned, that if he marries her before the backup wife and before Yom Kippur, because as we're learning, he can't marry on Yom Kippur, he ends up with two wives, and that's also not acceptable because v'loy bi'ad shnei batim, he's not supposed to have two wives. Says the Gemara, the hada megarshla, he divorces her. Ask the Gemara, imegarshla, if he marries her and divorces her, or before Yom Kippur, hadru kashin l'dukta, what do we accomplish? So Tosfos makes a very interesting observation. Tosfos says, what the Gemara says makes very little sense. We want him to be married. The getting divorced, we know, won't accomplish anything. What happened? So Tosfos says a very interesting thing. This Amira started answering the question. Before he let him finish the sentence, they jumped on him. Had they let him finish the sentence, he would have explained what he meant. And Rashi, as we begin this Gemara, makes a very interesting introduction. Rashi says, it's rare that we find Rashi should say such introduction. He says the Gemara is going to go through various scenarios, how the Kohen Gadol could work out this situation, that he should be married but not be married, so to speak, to these women. The Gemara is going to give a number of different options that are all untenable. So says Rashi, the Gemara knew all along that they were untenable. Not only does the Gemara know that many of these options that are mentioned are untenable, and the Gemara will ask on it, the Gemara had more kashas that it could have asked. But the Gemara is just developing a concept till we get to an approach that will work. So now let's just say a word of introduction. What is our situation? Our situation, what is our goal? Our goal is that he has to be married, but only married to one woman, not to two women. And if he's married, when he has these two people, what are the two options? One, there's three situations that can happen. Either neither will die. Let's give them names, Rachel and Leah. Both will remain alive. Either Rachel will die, or either Leah will die. Rabbi Yehuda already told us we don't have to worry that both of them will die. So we have three concerns. Both will stay alive, Rachel will die, or Leah will die. Now let's figure out what he could do. Leitzrich the Megarash La'atanai. He takes Leah, and he makes a divorce with a condition. Domele, he tells her, Hareza Gitech, this, your divorce should be effective, Amenas Shetamusi. If you die, divorce will be effective. Ask the Gemara, what did he accomplish with that? Vedimeloi Maisa, maybe she won't die. So if she won't die, she won't be divorced. Vavle shnei batim. So he has Rachel and Leah, both as wives. He hasn't accomplished anything. So Gemara tries a different approach. Elda Amala, he tells her, tells Leah, Hareza giter amnash loitamusi. If you don't die, then your get will be effective. Eloi Maisa, so now the Gemara tries to figure out. Eloi Maisa, if she doesn't die, Megashala. So he's divorced. Vimaisa, and if she does die, Hakai Mahach. Then the first wife is still here. So under all circumstances, he's left with one wife. Ask the Gemara, the Dilma, Eloi Maisa. This doesn't work. Maybe she won't die. Vavlahei Gita Dai Gita. If she doesn't die, that means he gave Leah the get, and he told her that if you don't die, the get will be effective. And she, Taka, doesn't die. But Rachel does die. So what happens? So if Rachel dies, he didn't have a wife, because Rachel died, once she's dead, she's not his wife. And Leah stayed alive, and since she stayed alive, the get was the get, so he's left with nobody. So my, the Kamle Beloy Bayis. So this approach doesn't work. Says the Gemara, El the Amala, he tells her, Amanasha Thomas Echemahem. He tells Leah, if either you or Rachel will die, the get will be effective. Mesaha, if Rachel dies, Hakai Mahach, Leah is here. Mesahach, if Leah dies, Hakai Mahach, Rachel is here. Ask the Gemara, this doesn't work. Because, Vadilma Loi Mesav Loi Chadamanayu. Maybe not Rachel and not Leah will die. Like Taisa says, that's the most likely situation. So he's left with Rachel Leah being his wife. Furthermore, Taisa says, a get given to a person that depends on them remaining alive or anything conditional in her is not a get. And we'll explain this before we get inside. The concept of getting, what's the concept of krisis? To sever the relationship between the husband and wife. If a condition is made that keeps her tied to him for the duration of her life, that isn't krisis. The Gemara, Masechta Gittin, the Gemara here gives the example. Let's say somebody gives his wife a divorce. He says the divorce is only effective if you won't drink wine. So it means her whole life she's not allowed to drink wine. The moment she takes a drink of wine, the divorce is void. So her whole life she's tied to him. If she's tied to him in any way in her whole life, that get is not a get. So here too, what did he say? That as long as you're alive, you're my wife. So he's tied to her for her whole life. She's tied to him for her whole life. So that get is I'm not a good get. Void ki ha gavna mi avgeta. Is this an effective divorce? V'amar Rava hareza gitech. If somebody gives a get with the condition amnas. He says that you're not allowed to drink wine as long as I'm alive or as long as you're alive. And it's a krisis. Why? Because she's tied to him for her whole life or his whole life. When will the get only be certainly final? Either when she dies or he dies, when there's no concern about the stipulation being met. But that's too late for a get to be effective. Because a get can be only effective as long as they're alive. After death, there's no time for getting. Only, says the Gemara, when can a stipulation be effective? If they say, Kol yimei chayi plaini. So it's not that they're tied together, that's krisis. So this condition is not a good condition, because she's tied to him for the duration of her life. So the Gemara tries a different approach. El da amala, hareza giteich, amnas shloi tomas chaverteich. This get I'm giving you will be effective if that means he tells Leah, this get will be effective if Rachel doesn't die. So let's figure out. Eloi Maisa Chaverta, if Rachel remains alive, Migrisha, so Leah is divorced and he's only married to Rachel. Vi Maisa, but if Rachel dies, Hakai Maha, Leah remains his wife. So he only has one wife. Ask the Gemara, this approach won't work either. V'dilma Maisa Chaverta B'palga Davoida. Maybe while the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoida, he's in the middle of one Avoida, Rachel will die. The Glor Milsel Mafreya, so then what will happen? We'll find out the Gita the High Loi Have a Git, the Gita the High Lav Gitahu. So Leah's get is not a get, because Leah's get it depends on Rachel remaining alive. Here Rachel died, so Leah's get is not a get. So until Rachel died, because when did the get become void? Only when Rachel died. But that Rachel died in the middle of the Avaida. So the first part of this Avaida was done where Rachel and Leah were both his wives. And the halacha is, as we learned in Amun Aleph, he's not allowed to have two wives. Vavalei Avaida b'shnei batim. Ella says the Gemara, Damalei reza gitech, amnasha tomas chavertech. He tells Leah, this is your get if Rachel dies. Ask the Gemara, v'dilma maisa chaverta, maybe Rachel will die. And if Rachel dies, then Leah's get is effective. Vavalei gita d'ha gita. So then Leah's get is effective. So Rachel is dead. And Leah's get is a good get. So v'kamalei b'lei bais. So he's left with nobody. Which again is not what we accomplish. Says the Gemara, we have to now take a new approach. Till now, the approach that the Gemara has taken is that he was only giving, the way we explained in our example, he was only giving Leah a get and making a condition with Leah and her get. But the Gemara explained that any condition that we try to make till this point will leave us in an unacceptable position. We may be left with two wives or maybe left with no wife, which are unacceptable situation. So now the Gemara takes an approach where he makes two conditions. He makes a condition both with Rachel and with Leah. Al Megalos Lo Tavayu. He gives a get to both Rachel and Leah, but he makes different conditions with these both women. L'chad Amala, to one he says, Hareza Gitech Amash Lo Tomas Chavertech. To Rachel he says, your get is effective if Leah doesn't die. Or L'chad Amala, and to Leah he says, Hareza Gitech, this is your get, as long as you don't enter a shul, you're divorced. So now the Gemara says what happens. So if Rachel dies, so what will Leah do? She'll go into shul, and she won't be divorced, and she'll be the Kohen Gadol's wife. If on the other hand, Rachel doesn't die, Baruch Hashem, so just keep Leah out of shul, and she's divorced, and the Kohen Gadol only has one wife. Again, let's review. Rachel said the get is your get is a get as long as Leah doesn't die. And Leah says your get is a get as long as you don't enter a shul. So if Rachel remains alive, suggest we keep Leah out of shul, and the only wife that the Kohen Gadol has is Rachel. If on the other hand Rachel does chas v'shalom die, so we just make sure Leah goes into shul, that voids a get, and she's the Kohen Gadol's wife. Ask the Gemara, v'dilma loy ma'aseh chaverta. Maybe what's going to happen is, Rachel will not die, v'loy aylehi lebeis knesses, and Leah will not go into the shul. And what's going to happen? V'avali gita t'vai gita. So now he has both divorced wives, v'kam lebelei bais, and he's left without any get, because both will remain alive. So Taishas asks the obvious question, why wouldn't Leah go into shul? If we need her to go into shul, so just like her, go to shul and we won't have any problem. So Taisha says three terutzim. Taisha says two terutzim, and Kivega says a third terutz. One terutz Taisha says is, you can't always rely on the women to do what they tell them. They're supposed to go, but what happens if they don't want to go? Another terutz, the Rishonim give, is, could be they don't have such a happy marriage. And she was always looking to get divorced. But he didn't want to divorce her. Now it's her chance to remain divorced. So you're going to tell her to go to shul to avoid the get. She doesn't want to avoid the get. She wants to be divorced. We have to be worried about that. A third teretz that the Mefarshim give is a very obvious teretz, Mikvegas teretz. This woman is all confused. If Rachel doesn't die, she's not supposed to go to shul. If Rachel dies, she is supposed to go to shul. So she doesn't know what to do. Is she supposed to go to shul or is she not supposed to go to shul? Since she's all confused, she's not going to go. And if she doesn't go, he may end up with no wives at all. Says the Gemara, and this is the final teretz, El-Chad Amala, to Rachel he says, Hareza Gitech Amnash Loi Tomas Chavertech, if Leah doesn't die, this is your get. El-Chad Amala, and to Leah says, Hareza Gitech Amnash Akonis Anil Beisek Nesses. He's not relying on her. He'll go in. If Rachel dies, Hakaimaha, so then Leah is alive. V Maisaha, and if Leah dies, Hakaimaha, Rachel is alive. Mayik lemeima. What are we worried? Dilma maisa chaverta v'palga davoida. The concern that we had on top of the Amid, that maybe in the middle of davoida is when she's going to die. So it'll turn out that at the beginning of davoida you had two wives. So I don't have to worry about that. Again, dilma maisa chaverta v'palga davoida. V'ovid le'avoida l'mafrei b'shnei batim. He'll end up doing the first part of avoida with two wives. Says the Gemara, Ichaz le dekaboy lememus. Nobody dies generally suddenly. If he sees that one of the wives, that Rachel is about to die, kadav oyuv ayala basic nesses, he immediately goes into the shul to avoid that get, to make sure that he only has one wife. So Rishonim say, the Taisus Arash says, that really he doesn't have to go, really even if he went into shul after he did the avoida, it would retroactively void the get. But Chazal wa machmer, that we don't want him to wait till after, because we're concerned what might happen, and that's why we say go before she dies. But even if la halacha he went after she died, the get would be voided. So what are we saying? That bias, we just wrap up the Gemara, bias means a full-fledged wife. There's a din in the Torah that if somebody dies without any children, his wife has to have yibum or chalitza. The halacha is, ashiyivne beis ochef. He has to build his brother's home. Now, again, there it says the word bias. In our Gemara, we said that by Yom Kippur, regarding the Kohen Gadol, it says bias. And how do we explain bias? V'lo shnei batim. So ask the Gemara, the halacha should be that if somebody died with two wives, there should be no din of yibum or chalitza, because bayis echad v'lo shnei batim. Yet we know, mitzvah Hashem will learn masechta Yevamos, that the halacha clearly is that if somebody dies without children, even if he left two wives, there are halachas of yibum or chalitza. Only one wife has to have yibum or chalitza, but there's still a din of yibum or chalitza. Ask them, why don't we say bayis v'lo shnei batim? If somebody left two wives, and he didn't have any children, there should be no din of yibum. Answers the Gemara, yivamta, yivamta riba. Since the Torah uses the word yivimta, yivimta a number of times, the Torah is teaching us that even when somebody left two wives, the din of yibum mechalitz applies. Ask the Gemara. We're saying, that was the basis of the whole Gemara, the bias means a full-fledged wife. If there's only erusin, that's not called bias. Yet the halacha by yibum is that let's say somebody only had an erusin relationship with his wife, they never came to nisuin, and he dies without children, his wife, who was only an arusa, has to have yibum mechalitza. But the Gemara asks, just like here we say bias means a full-fledged wife, by yibum it should also mean only a Nesua, not just Erisin. Yet we know by Yibam the halacha is that even only an Arusa has to have Yibam Chalitza. Maskla Ravina Vitamer of Shrabya, Elamata Arusa Loitus Yabim, because it says bias, and we explained in our Gemara bias means a Nesua. And it says the Gemara, since the Torah uses the word Chachutza, that the relationship is only an outside relationship, it's not a full-fledged relationship, the Rabbis is Arusa, that even though they only have an Erisin relationship, they are required to have Yibum or Chalitza.